Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're now going to go deep underground and the Sanford Underground Research Facility. Joining me now from LEED is Mike Headley. He's the Executive Director of the South Dakota Science and Technology Authority and the Lab Director of the Sanford Underground Research Facility. Mike, thanks for taking time and coming on the program today.
Oh, you bet, Kara. It's good to hear from you.
Well, so 2017... Let's start there and recap the year in science in LEED.
Before we start, I just wanted to mention it was great to hear Tom Loveland. I worked with Tom for a number of years at Arrow, so it was great to hear that familiar voice.
Yes, he said to tell you hello, too.
All right, great. So 2017 was, it was a whirlwind. We had a number of major milestones, and I think I'll probably start with this major project that we're working on with Fermilab. It's called the Long Baseline Neutrino Facility, which is the facility that will host the Deep Underground Neutrino Experiment, or DUNE. And as we've been moving forward with this project, it's, as I mentioned, led by Fermilab, and the scope of this experiment will involve Fermilab directing a beam of neutrinos from Chicago to large detectors that we'll have under, a mile underground here at the Sanford Lab. And we've had some, as I mentioned, some major milestones for the project. We had a groundbreaking in July, which was something we held down on the 4850 level. It was broadcast all over the world via the internet. Great representation from the White House, from members of Congress, the governor, federal officials associated with the Department of Energy, and also obviously Fermilab and our staff and a number of international partners. So I think in the run-up to actually starting construction on this project, it was a great milestone to really literally put a shovel in the dirt and signify that we're moving forward with construction. And the project has received good funding support in the federal 2017 budget, received $50 million, and so that's what we've been operating on at this point. And the budget looks good for next year. We're hoping that our folks in Washington will pass a 2018 budget pretty soon. And in addition to strong federal funding here in the U.S., we did have an additional international partner put forth a fairly large contribution or commitment to the project. The United Kingdom earlier in 2017 committed $88 million to the project, which is obviously significant. And back in 2016, CERN, the physics laboratory in Geneva, committed approximately $90 million U.S. So, in recap, we've broken ground. We're officially in a construction phase right now. International partnerships are coming along. The number of scientists in DUNE, the science collaboration is now over 1,000. I think over 170 countries and 31 different nations. So, this really is building up to be one of the largest science mega projects ever attempted on U.S. soil.
Largest ever. Because of size, because of money, because of the number of people who are signing on to the project?
I think really from a scale perspective. I mean, this is something, obviously the geographic scale is huge, and the number of countries that are involved, and certainly the scale from a financial perspective as well. And so this really is the culmination of all these different nations coming together to really try and unlock the mysteries of the neutrino and what role it plays in the universe. And so I think it's on a grand scale from a number of different perspectives.
And is this an experiment that could really be built anywhere else?
Well, there are a number of, you know, sites around the world where one could attempt this. The distance between LEED and Chicago really is kind of a sweet spot, in that what we're trying to see is, neutrinos exist in, at least as we know, in three different types of neutrinos, each with a slightly different mass. And that 1,300 kilometers between here and Chicago is really kind of a magic distance for, we expect a neutrino to go through a complete cycle of changing from one type to another over that distance. So So the distance is really good between the two of us for doing this type of research and watching how they change type. And, you know, obviously with an accelerator that's one of the most powerful beams of neutrinos in the world in Chicago, and our facilities here with the ability to build large caverns a mile underground, it's really, it's a perfect fit to do this science.
And how is the construction underground going?
So the construction that we've been doing so far has been the rehabilitation of the raw shaft. And in October, we reached the 4850 level. And are now down around the bottom of the shaft right now. And later in 2018, we'll actually complete that. And so related to the remainder of the construction, Fermilab is out of Chicago, is holding the contracts for the construction. And this last year, they were able to get on contract with a joint venture of two construction companies, Kiewit, who is one of the premier tunneling contractors and underground excavation contractors in the world, and another company called Alberici. And so they formed a joint venture and have been selected as the construction manager for this project. And they've been working with the Fermilab team, and we've been a part of that as well, to prepare for their work to start on site in, we're planning roughly the May-June timeframe. And so I mentioned these large caverns underground. We'll be excavating about 875,000 tons of rock. And so that equates to about 500,000 cubic yards. And we'll be excavating that over about a three-year period. And that rock will come up the raw shaft, the shaft we've been refurbishing. And then we'll have a pipe conveyor that will run from our facility over to the open cut and lead where the rock will be placed for long-term storage. And so the installation of that conveyor to move all that rock and other supporting infrastructure to handle the rock is what the construction of that is what will start in May, June. And that will run for about a year, a little over a year. And then towards the, I'll say early fall of 2019 is when we're expecting this excavation project to start and run for about 3 years.
Okay. So it's a long time before everything's in place to start shooting the neutrinos from Chicago.
It is. It is. So I mentioned the excavation about 3 years, the build out of the facility. So actually outfitting, all the utilities that are needed in the caverns, that will take a couple of additional years. And then we're planning for about a five-year period or so of installation of detectors. So if you add all that together, it equates to about 10 years worth of construction. And then we're planning for the facility or for the experiment to run for at least 20 years. So we kind of joke that this will be the Macy's of our mall, really one of the, obviously the largest experiment that we'll have. It'll be really one of the anchor tenants for the lab for the next few decades.
And let's move on to the dark matter experiment and the LZ that's in the process of being built.
Yeah, so you know that we've had the previous experiment, the LUX experiment, Large Underground Xenon Experiment. This last year we finished the decommissioning of LUX, and it's actually the detector's on display down at our visitor center down in Lead. And so I would encourage folks, if they're out in Leeds, stop by the visitor center. It's really a great opportunity to learn more about what we do and the history of Leeds and mining. But you mentioned the LZ experiment, the Lux Zeppelin experiment. That's the next generation dark matter experiment. And we've upgraded some facilities on the surface, and we're expecting them to actually start to bring hardware associated with the experiment to site this month, actually. And we're kicking off a construction effort to modify our facilities a mile underground to get ready for them to deploy underground. And so that construction work will be done by the early summer, and we're expecting them to start to install underground towards the end of this calendar year. And so this experiment, they're expecting to be done with construction around beginning of 2020, and it'll operate for 5 years. And so really, all these experiments we've been talking about have the potential to win a Nobel Prize. And the LZ experiment, we always like to say that if dark matter actually does exist, as the theorists believe, that this experiment does have an incredibly good shot of actually seeing it. So we're excited, to say the least, that they're actually now starting to come to site and get ready to install.
How difficult is it for you to explain the science and the importance of it? I mean, we heard in the governor's State of the State address, and the governor has told me himself that he knows this is important, but he really doesn't understand it. How do you keep that level of excitement going as you pitch this year after year for these types of experiments?
Well, it's you bring up a good point, and I'm not a physicist. I have been a project manager and I've developed large government projects pretty much my entire career. So, these topics, neutrinos and dark matter, incredibly fascinating, but they're a bit esoteric, and they are tough to explain. And so we have a great communication staff that we work with to try and figure out ways, you know, working with our scientists to communicate the science in simple terms. And as you point out, it's not always easy. And I give the governor credit. He does a great job understanding what we're doing, and I think he's selling himself short. I think he's very much on top of what we're up to.
Okay. Let's keep moving. We have the Mariana experiment as well, the demonstrator, and that's moving along as well.
Yeah, Mariana, and for those who are just hearing this for the first time, the Mariana experiment is trying to study properties of neutrinos, and trying to study the mass of the neutrino and why we believe neutrinos may tell us why there's more matter than antimatter in the universe. And so Mariana's been assembling for quite some time. They started assembling underground back in 2012. And actually, this last year went operational. They've been collecting production physics data and had a major milestone in October. They released the first major scientific paper of their results. And one of the things they've been trying to prove, and the experiment is called a demonstrator on purpose, is really trying to test out the techniques to build a larger experiment. And so this last year, back in October, they were able to release a paper that said that they were able to construct the experiment in such a way that the radiation backgrounds were low enough for them to be able to construct a larger scale experiment, really reaching or driving down the background, surrounding backgrounds in the experiment to a level that really has been, I think, better than any other experiment in the world. So it's... And the reason why, you know, it sounds like a real esoteric thing to say, but why is that important? From our facility perspective, one of the things that indicates is that our background environment at the 4850 is quiet enough to support that next generation experiment. And it's something that we've been really watching for a while to see, could they be successful, that hopefully we could host their next generation. And at least the initial technical information shows that is possible. So that's been a milestone that we've been pretty excited about from last year.
Hmm. Do you continually have scientists pitch you new ideas, or do you think in your overall mall of anchor tenants, you're set? Are we going to see more boutiques, I guess, popping up?
Well, I mentioned LUX, the LZ experiment as the next generation. We're hoping to host what would be the next generation after that as well. And as I mentioned, Mirana, the next generation of their experiment. And so we work hand in hand with DOE and trying to understand what the plans are for those future experiments. We do, on almost a weekly basis, we have principal investigators from other smaller experiments that contact us and they say, hey, you know, I want to come to site. I want to do some work in either biology or engineering or physics. But generally, we do get solicited by a number of different scientists to be able to come into the facility for a short time or to actually come and occupy a space for a while. So it just kind of varies depending on the scale of the experiment, the type of work they want to do.
Talk a little bit about access for students and how students benefit from what's happening in the underground lab.
Yeah, that's something that's been a challenge for us. And early on, when we were first reentering the facility and trying to get the infrastructure to a level of safety that we felt comfortable with, we really had to limit the number of students that wanted to come and get a feel for what it was like to do work a mile underground. And so one thing that we've been able to get up and going the last few years is a facility called the Black Hill State University Underground Campus. And the BHSU Underground Campus is an 800-square-foot clean room. And although it's got BHSU in the name, it's really a resource for the entire regional system here in the state. And so we do different types of science in that room, both physics and biology. And it's provided an opportunity for us to get students underground, primarily undergraduates, that may not come and do work in an underground science facility. And so it's something that I don't really have any numbers to quote off the top of my head, but it is something that's provided a lot more additional opportunities for undergraduate students to be able to come and do work here.
Do you see, as this is getting, the construction phase ends, draws to a close, that more people, it'll be more accessible to more people that may want to come and see what's happening down there, or will it continue to be limited?
Yeah, I think from a perspective of hosting public tours, we don't have plans for that currently. I'm sorry to say, I wish we could, but it's something that we've talked about doing in the future. And I think, as we look forward to, the construction activities, roughly a decade from now for LB and Neptune wrapping up, with a newly refurbished shaft, is that something that we could support? And so it's something we talk about. We actually have started discussions with one of the local universities about trying to put together a virtual reality tour as well. And so I think that's something that we're kicking around as an idea as well, to get people an experience of what it's like to go underground, maybe with not even doing it. So that's something we're talking about too.
Okay. So as you look ahead to this year, what do you see?
Well, as I mentioned, we have the LZ experiment starting to come on site and assemble. And the construction contractor for LBNF will actually be on site and starting this summer. And we've been in the process of rehabilitating the raw shaft for a number of years now. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to having that construction project off our plate. We've been self-performing that work. And we've got a great team who's been doing it, but we're anxious to get to the bottom and get the shaft commissioned and cut a ribbon and put it into full operations. So those really are some of the major milestones we've got coming up for 2018.
All right. Mike Headley, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today.
You bet, Kara. Great to hear from you.